In 2015, America spent $3.2 trillion on healthcare, nearly $10,000 per person. But we live shorter, sicker lives than people in most other wealthy countries.
That's according to a new two-year study from the RAND Corporation that found countries that spend more on social safety net programs have better health outcomes. The show's Lauren Gilger is here with more on this. And Lauren, they found that paying for healthcare doesn't necessarily mean we'll live longer?
Exactly, which can seem a little counterintuitive, but they even put a number on this. The RAND study found that every percentage point spent on social welfare programs leads to about 18 more days of life for every person.
So is the idea we need to take a broader approach to healthcare in our country?
Right, that's what this theory would lead to. Basically, they're arguing that even with a healthcare system that provides some of the best care in the world, we'll always be playing catch-up to what's happening outside of the doctor's office. So I spoke with Catherine DeRose more about this. She's a senior policy researcher at RAND. And her work, she focuses on the link between social conditions and health. And I asked her if this healthcare paradox surprises her.
I think, you know, we've known that the U.S. does spend more than other countries, and yet, you know, lags behind on a lot of health indicators. I mean, the evidence has been mounting showing that what we consider modifiable behaviors and exposures that occur in the community, you know, account for something like 60% of preventable deaths. So we know that there are a lot of things kind of outside the healthcare system that need to be done in order to improve health.
So looking at outside the healthcare system, so the study shows that money invested in social welfare programs, even things like childcare subsidies or benefits in old age, can lead to better health outcomes. So how exactly does that work? Why would those kinds of things that don't necessarily seem directly linked to your health, how can those affect your health?
We know that for people with, you know, asthma, that, you know, exposures like mold in their homes and other things can really trigger negative reactions in their health, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they can be treated in an emergency room for these health problems, but if they're sent back to the same environment that's triggering these problems, then, you know, it's just going to happen again and again. So addressing things like housing and food insecurity and interpersonal safety and things that we know are contributing to these different health problems can really, you know, go a long way in addressing those issues.
Right. And you look at this in your work. You look at that link between social conditions and population health. What kinds of things have you found work in this way?
Well, I can give you one example, some work that we've actually been doing in Latin America addressing an issue for people living with HIV. We were finding as they were scaling up antiretroviral therapy, which is the very effective treatments that we have now for HIV, which is, you know, sort of converted HIV from a, you know, terminal disease to a chronic disease that people can sort of live with for many years. But they need to take these medications on a regular basis. And we were finding that food insecurity or just not having enough food or worrying about food was a barrier to them taking their medications. And so, you know, the same time the government was scaling up this very effective treatment in governments and, you know, across different countries in Latin America, and a huge investment because, you know, the medications are fairly costly, not everyone was able to take them. You know, it was sort of an issue that they hadn't anticipated. They thought, well, if we get everybody the medications, you know, we're solving the problem.
Yeah.
But because of this problem with food insecurity, so we started a partnership with the World Food Program, who was also concerned about this issue, and we've been trying different things in different countries, you know, address this issue of food insecurity so that they stay on their treatment and have better outcomes.
So basically, you know, medication isn't necessarily enough and paying for healthcare alone isn't necessarily going to make people healthy or live longer.
Yeah, I mean, it's a complex picture, right? We've recognized in many different communities the importance of these issues. We've measured them. We've measured the negative effects of, you know, some of these. But, you know, what we really need now are studies to show, well, what really works to address this issue.
Right, right. And that's what I was going to ask next. So in your opinion, how should governments invest to improve people's quality of life to lead to better health outcomes? Is there a model for this yet?
I think there are some different communities that are trying different things. You know, I think obviously establishing kind of cross-sector partnerships is really important. So different government agencies need to be talking to each other and working together. You know, another example of this, the LA County Department of Public Health has had an initiative, a Housing First initiative for chronically homeless individuals,
mm-hmm.
where they're actually using, you know, Medicaid funds to pay for housing for people who are chronically homeless under the, you know, the argument that this is going to improve their health outcomes. And previous, you know, looks at this model have suggested that it can have tremendous amounts of cost savings in, you know, emergency department visits and, you know, other really high expensive care.
That was Catherine DeRose, a senior policy researcher at the RAND Corporation. She studies how social conditions affect population health.
And that's the show's Lauren Gilger. Thanks, Lauren.
Thank you.